Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 43. I think that I've shared this with you before, but for me, the book of Isaiah has been growing in favor and importance. For a long time in my life, Isaiah was pretty much a closed book to me. Oh, sure, there were those wonderful passages that we all know about, such as in Isaiah chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Or from Isaiah chapter 7 that talked about, "And a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Or from Isaiah chapter 53, "That he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and by his wounds that we are healed." Those passages certainly are on the tips of our tongue, passages that we use during festival times of the year. But the rest of the book of Isaiah, kind of a closed book, because it was hard to understand. It would take a lot of work in order to crack the message that God is giving to us there. And that was true until a couple years ago when I took a class on Isaiah. And all of a sudden, the book was unlocked and it began to become alive. And the beauty of the passages and the message that is given was there and available. And so here even in this congregation, we've been looking at Isaiah more and more frequently in order to hear what God is saying to us through that book. And I'd like to do that with you again today as we look at Isaiah chapter 43. But we do so with a special eye towards our Lord's baptism, our own baptism, and yes, our identity in Christ. So if you would, take out your bulletin, take a look at the Old Testament reading. And there it's Isaiah chapter 43. And the first thing I'd like to point out to you is the way that the first and the last verse parallel one another. It's kind of like a frame for us of this passage, thus identifying for us also the central thought of this passage. So in verse 1 it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name, you are mine." Now look at the last verse. Same words being used there. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Same words. Again, identifying for us the central thought of this passage. And so what is it all about? What do those words speak to you? It's all about identity, isn't it? It's about, in particular, who Israel was, where they came from, and who they are now. You see, it was God who created them, God who formed them, God who redeemed them, God who called them by name. This indeed is who they are. But it's also important for us to take a look at those individual words, because each of them has a lot of biblical imagery connected with them. So, for example, when you think about the words created and formed, what Old Testament story comes to mind? Well, naturally, it's Genesis 1 and 2, isn't it? When God created the universe and he formed all things, and he did so by his word, God spoke and it happened and he brought it into being. You see, what he's saying is with his people, it's the very same way. That God speaks, God acts, and his people came into being. And so we can think of other stories where God did this, the calling of Abraham. So Abraham, he kind of called out of nothing. You know, Abraham didn't know God at all. If anything, he was a pagan. And God called him out of that, out of this nothingness. And he began to create a people for himself and began to form them. And then we can talk about the word redeemed. And again, what's the biblical story that comes to mind? What is the great salvation act of the Old Testament? And that is the Exodus. God bringing his people out of Egypt. They were slaves. They belonged to another. And so God set them free and made them his people. He redeemed them. And then there's the word called. And again, we can search for a biblical story. When did God name his people as his own? Well, we can go to Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments and made a covenant with his people. And he said, I will be your God and you will be my people. He put his name upon them. You are my people. And so he called them out. This is who Israel is. They are who they are because God has acted. Because God created them. Because God formed them. Because God redeemed them. Because God called them by name and made them his own. But you know, just because one has an identity doesn't mean that they will be excused from trials and tribulations in life. And so as we go on to verse 2 of our text for today, we see that it talks about that. In the passing through the waters and through the rivers and through the fire. And again, there are biblical images that are to come to mind when we say those words. So the waters, passing through the waters, can be a reference to the Red Sea. Remember the story, how God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, no. And so God said, I will show you who is God. And then come the 10 plagues. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened against God and his word. But then finally he relented with the last of the plagues. And he said, go. But even after they had left and gone, then Pharaoh changed his mind and he gathered his army and he followed after them in order to wipe them out or to recapture them again. And they were pinned up between the army and the Red Sea. No way of escape until God parted the seas and they walked through on the dry ground. God brought his people through that trial because they were his. And he loved them and they belonged to him. And again, when we think about passing through the rivers, we can think about the time after the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years when God's people were being brought into the promised land. And there they come up to the Jordan River, which is at flood stage. And God parts the waters and they walk through again on dry ground, passing through the waters. And the fires, passing through the fires, we can think of the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how they were thrown into the furnace as punishment because they would not bow down to the king and worship another god. They refused to do so. But even though they were thrown into the fiery furnace, not a hair on their bodies was singed. God enabled them to pass through the fires. And so even in the trials of life, God demonstrates that these people belong to him. He loved them and he would care for them. And then we get down to verses 3 and 4. And once again, we see this idea of redemption. I have redeemed you. But now this time, it's not the story of Egypt, but rather it's the story of Babylon. God's people have rebelled against God. They have rejected him. And so God takes them from their land, allows the temple to be destroyed, and they are taken off into Babylon as captives for 70 years. But God has not forgotten his people. Suddenly there is a change in international powers, and Babylon falls to Persia. And God moves the king of Persia to set his people free, allow them to go back to their land and to rebuild. But even as he does so, and then the king of Persia goes on a war campaign. And he goes down and he defeats Egypt and Cush and Seba. And so we have in verse 3 of our text where God says, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Because you're my people, I redeem you. You're mine. And then finally, in verses 5 and 6, we see that Israel has a future. They have a future because God is their Lord, and he will gather them from the ends of the earth to himself, even as he has gathered the church to himself from the ends of the earth, and he will gather us from the ends of the earth into eternal life. What is quite curious in all of this, then, is that Israel is who she is, not because of what she has done or not done, but rather because of what God has done. Isn't it curious that in this whole passage about identity, Israel and what she has done is hardly even mentioned at all? But it's all about God and what God has done. And you see, that's the clue for us as to where identity comes from. Not from what we do, but because of what God has done for us. Because God creates us, he forms us, he redeems us, and he calls us by name. And that's where our identity is. And so as we gather on this, the baptism of our Lord, we remember that. That's God's message to you, that you are who you are, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done for you, and how God has called you to be his own and has redeemed you. And so it is that Jesus comes to the waters of the Jordan River in order to be baptized, not because he needs to be baptized, he doesn't, but because he wants to identify with these people. These are the ones for whom I have come. Those who are in the waters of baptism, those who are looking for the kingdom of God, Jesus says, I have come for these people, and I am one of them. And so he is baptized too. And in his baptism, then we see who he is. We see his identity. Because Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the waters, the heavens are opened, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. And the voice of the Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. See, there's his identity. We know who he is. And we see his connectedness with God, with the Spirit, and with the Father. That together, they are the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so then we come to baptism. Not John's baptism, but rather to the baptism that Jesus gives to us. To be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized into Christ Jesus. And you see that what God did for Israel, he does for us in baptism. That he makes you a new person in baptism. You are recreated in Christ. And he begins to form you into his child. And he redeems you, even though over and over again you leave him and are unfaithful to him. He continues to redeem you in Christ. And he calls you by name. You are mine. And you see, that's who we are. That's where we know who we are. Sometimes we struggle with our identity. You know, psychologists tell us that at this time of the year, a lot of people are dealing with depression, which has a lot to do with identity and who we are. And I guess there's a lot of reasons for that. Maybe it's the post-holiday letdown. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it has to do with the realization of the bills that are coming in from the overspending that we've done. You know, whatever it is, we try to claw ourselves out of that. Sometimes we try to make a new me. Maybe that's through New Year's resolutions. He said, I am going to make myself new by the things that I do. Or perhaps it is by the events that we try to schedule new kinds of events to take the place of the old events that have now come and gone with Christmas. Or maybe it's the presents that we've gotten, that somehow we try to use them, to wear them, to make a new me out of it all. But you see, what we're doing is we're misplacing our identity into things, into actions that we have done. And that's not the place where we find our identity. So today, as we come together once again towards the beginning of the year, we are reminded of who we are, that our identity is found in what God has done for us, and particularly in our baptism, that God has created us, that God is forming us, that God has redeemed us, that God has named us as his own. And so it is that we say, not I was baptized, although that is very true, but we say I am baptized, because that's who we are. That is our identity. We are the children of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.